I'm Eric Rosales. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, prayers for Pope Francis. The faithful around the world are grieving the death of the Holy Father. We have team coverage, including a report from Rome, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen provides analysis on what happens now. We also examine the reaction here in the United States, including from the White House and lawmakers on Capitol Hill. These stories and much more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
At 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father. His whole life was dedicated to the service of the Lord and his Church. He taught us to live the values of the Gospel with fidelity, courage, and universal love, especially in favor of the poorest and most marginalized.
We begin tonight with heavy hearts, joining the billions of faithful around the world who are grieving the death of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. From Europe to the U.S. and beyond, the news of his sudden passing was met with shock and sorrow. Our EWTN correspondents are covering all angles of this breaking news story. Owen Jensen is at the White House. Mark Irons is at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. But we begin tonight with EWTN Vatican correspondent Colin Flynn in Rome.
Good evening. We come to you from St. Peter's Square, where thousands of people have been gathering all day to mourn the Holy Father's passing. This news has come as a shock to many after Pope Francis was showing signs of improvement yesterday, appearing at the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, where he shared his personal Easter greetings with the thousands of people who were gathered in St. Peter's Square. According to the death certificate, Vatican physician Dr. Andrea Arcangeli, he determined that the Pope died from a stroke, coma, and irreversible cardiovascular collapse. The Vatican physician is also responsible for ensuring the pontiff's remains are appropriately preserved with, quote, the greatest decorum and respect. The physician was also present when Cardinal Kevin Farrell presided over the placing of the Holy Father's body in a coffin. Tomorrow, the College of Cardinals will begin meeting to plan the funeral and discuss the running of the Vatican during this period without a pope. His last will and testament was released, where the Holy Father asked for a very simple burial, for which he arranged payment from a private benefactor to be laid to rest in the Papal Basilica of St. Mary Major. He asked that the tomb should be in the ground, simple, without particular ornamentation, bearing only the inscription Franciscus. Well, Pope Francis had been seen a number of times across Holy Week, and while he was not well enough to celebrate the main liturgical events, it was a reassurance for Catholics to get a glimpse of the Holy Father after his recent stay in hospital for severe bronchitis, which of course developed into double pneumonia. And as of now, we believe his last official meeting was in Casa Santa Marta yesterday morning with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance. Well, for now, the world remembers Pope Francis as a leader who sought to bring the Church closer to the people, a Pope who embraced the poor, the forgotten, and the suffering. His legacy of compassion and reform will be debated for years to come, but his impact on the global Church and on the hearts of millions will not be forgotten. At the Vatican in Rome this evening, Colm Flynn for EWTN News Nightly.
Joining us now in the studio is Vice President of EWTN News, Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Good to be with you, although this is a day of immense sadness for the Church.
It certainly is. Talk to us about what is next. What can we expect?
Well, of course, we had the heartbreaking announcement of the Holy Father's passing. Today, we also had the certification of his death according to a very clear set of rituals. What this does is the passing of the Holy Father is set into motion a series of acts or stages. The first one is focused, obviously, on his immediate passing, and then he will be translated into St. Peter's Basilica to lie in state. We've seen that, for example, with Pope Benedict XVI. We saw that in 2005 with Pope St. John Paul II, where the faithful will be able to process and pray for him and see him in person. Then, within 4 to 6 days, according to the rules, there has to be a funeral. And this will be a slightly different one in the sense that Pope Francis has simplified the rites for the funeral. And then, unlike most of his predecessors, he will not be buried apparently in St. Peter's Basilica, but will be ultimately buried in Santa Maria Maggiore, where he has a deep devotion to the Blessed Mother, probably near the Salus Populi Romani, this magnificent icon that he always visited anytime he was leaving Rome and anytime he came back to Rome.
Beautiful place there.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about what can we expect in the funeral itself, the actual ceremony.
Well, the funeral itself will be a simplified rite. It is essentially the passing of the Pope. That obviously brings many different rituals itself, but at the end of the day, it really is the farewell on the part of the Church, the commending of the soul of this Pope. As we heard today, he has gone to the house of the Father. So it will be surrounded by prayers. It will be surrounded, of course, by a funeral mass. Typically, the homily for the funeral mass will be delivered by the dean of the College of Cardinals, in this case, Cardinal Ray, who, interestingly enough, will not actually be able to participate in any upcoming conclave because he's over 80. But I think what he has to say will be, I think, a profound moment for the Church as we say farewell to this unprecedented Pope.
And the conclave itself, when does that begin?
Well, this is the next stage after the funeral is the general congregations. All the cardinals have come to Rome. They will meet. A date will be set for the conclave. It basically has to start no earlier than 15 days, although they can adjust the dates as needed. And from that point on, they will enter into the Sistine Chapel, about 135 of them to vote. But for now, obviously, all of our attention is focused on remembering Pope Francis, commending him, and praying for him leading up to the funeral. And then after that, all of the rites that follow will come in due course according to very clear rituals. And let's remember, too, that we are praying for the repose of the soul of the Holy Father. This is a moment of great loss for the Church.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Matthew Bunsen.
Great to be with you.
God bless you. And a short time ago, a reminder that the Holy Father is gone. Earlier today, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, the Camerlengo, oversaw the sealing of the Pope's residence. A Vatican employee placed a red ribbon on the door, tying it shut before putting a wax seal on the ribbon. He was joined by Archbishop Bene Pera and several others. This was done to ensure the safekeeping of the Pope's personal belongings. Of course, we here at EWTN are mourning the loss of the Holy Father and praying for the repose of his soul and the Church. EWTN CEO Michael Warsaw released a statement saying in part, quote, "I was privileged to be able to meet Pope Francis a number of times throughout the years and was always struck by his kindness and good humor in our encounters. As Catholics, we thank God for the life of the pontificate of Pope Francis, and in particular for the tireless advocacy for those on the peripheries." EWTN also celebrated a special Mass today at Our Lady of Angels Chapel in Irondale, Alabama. It was a Mass of mourning, but also one of hope, the kind of hope that comes with the Easter season.
We can recall his words just yesterday in his Easter Urbi et Orbi message, literally meaning to the city, that is, to the city of Rome and to the world. Our Holy Father reminded us that the resurrection of Jesus is the basis of our hope, and hope does not disappoint. It was the papal master of ceremonies had mentioned that our Holy Father's desire for his funeral was to have a simple funeral rite, but he really wanted the focus to be on the risen Lord, right? And so it's a great focus that we should always keep our mind on our Lord, who himself suffered, died, and rose from the dead.
And throughout the week, the Franciscan missionaries of the Eternal Word will be offering daily masses for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis. You can see all the masses here on EWTN. We're also broadcasting all special liturgies from Rome. And many came out to remember Pope Francis at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. And that's where EWTN's national correspondent Mark Irons continues our team coverage.
Eric, there may be no more fitting place to remember Pope Francis in America than right here at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., the largest Catholic church in North America. In 2015, Pope Francis made a historic visit to the U.S., stopping here on his first full day, and it was today that a Mass was celebrated to remember the Pope. The bells tolled 88 times today to mark the 88 years of Pope Francis's life. Cardinal Christoph Pierre, the Pope's ambassador to the U.S., reflected on the Pope's final message before his death.
He told us one thing: Christ is risen. That was his message. He was dying, and it was obvious that he was not so well, you know, nearly unable to speak. A few words, but the few words, Christ is risen.
A prayerful crowd packed the crypt chapel inside North America's largest Catholic church as Cardinals Pierre, Wilton Gregory, and Robert McElroy, the Archbishop of Washington, concelebrated the memorial mass for the Pope. Afterward, we caught up with some of the cardinals.
Cardinal Pierre, what impact did Pope Francis have on you personally?
He's somebody who has had an encounter with Christ, and the encounter with Christ has so much transformed his life.
And as you and other cardinals prepare soon enough for a conclave, what's on your mind?
Well, as soon as I woke up and heard this news, I thought, well, this is all in God's hands now.
Outside the Basilica, Catholics remembered Pope Francis.
With the passing of Pope Francis today, how are you reflecting on this?
Just drying my tears. Appreciate him for being one of our greatest popes and for the shrine, for the celebration.
Reflections on the life of Pope Francis will continue pouring in. It was on this holy ground in 2015 that the Pope canonized Saint Junipero Serra. That was the first canonization on U.S. soil. In Washington, Mark Irons, EWTN News Nightly.
President Donald Trump offered condolences to Catholics while responding to questions about Pope Francis. We caught up with the president on the South Lawn. White House correspondent Owen Jensen joins us now to continue our team coverage. Owen.
Eric, to honor the memory of His Holiness, President Trump has ordered all flags to fly at half staff. And earlier today at the Easter egg roll here at the White House, I was able to ask President Donald Trump a couple of questions about the passing of Pope Francis. Here's that interaction. Take a listen.
Your message to Catholics, sir, mourning the loss of Pope Francis. Your message to Catholics, sir.
We love you all. We're with you all. They were with me during the election, as you know, very strongly. And it's just an honor to have the support of the Catholics. And I feel very badly for them because they love the Pope.
No matter who the next Pope is, sir, no matter who the next Pope is elected, whoever that may be, what relationship do you hope to have with the incoming Pope?
I think very.
Just moments before that, President Donald Trump, addressing a packed crowd of parents and kids celebrating Easter, said of Pope Francis,
he was a good man, worked hard, he loved the world.
Vice President J.D. Vance was one of the last leaders to visit Pope Francis before he died.
So good to see you.
They greeted each other Sunday at Santa Marta.
Happy Easter to you, Father.
The vice president said he's been praying for the Pope every day.
I know you've not been feeling great, but it's good to see you in better health.
And after news of the Pope's passing, the White House tweeted, "Rest in peace, Pope Francis."
And we're praying for the millions of Christians around the world who love the Pope and admire him.
Former presidents also mourn the Pope's passing. Joe Biden wrote, "Pope Francis will be remembered as one of the most consequential leaders of our time, and I am better for having known him." Barack Obama added, "Pope Francis was the rare leader who made us want to be better people."
And we're learning tonight that President Trump and the First Lady will attend the Pope's funeral when that happens. And President Trump also posting on Truth Social, "May God bless him and all who loved him." At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Although lawmakers are still on their Easter recess break this week, reaction to the death of Pope Francis continues to come in. I did speak with several Catholic legislators today, including South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds.
What would be Jesus's message? I think that's what he tried to share. And he did it from a sense of humility, the way Jesus would have done it. Jesus did not judge. Jesus was there to help and to say that salvation is available to everybody.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois put out a statement on the life of Pope Francis, quote, "We have lost the messenger, but we must hold fast to the message of Pope Francis to love and respect one another. In a world of hate and fear, Pope Francis's message of peace and understanding is needed now more than ever." And Catholic Congressman Pete Stauber tells me he was in St. Peter's Square several years ago and had a personal interaction with Pope Francis.
The Pope Mobile stopped, and His aide grabbed my zucchetto. He gave his aide his on his head. And I remember grabbing it, and it was warm, still warm to the touch from being on the Pope's head. And then he put mine on.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise wrote on X, quote, "Deeply saddened to hear of the passing of Pope Francis on this Easter Monday. As the first pope to be elected from the Americas, he continued the papal tradition of spreading the message of Jesus' love around the world. May God be with the Catholic Church during this time of mourning and transition." Other lawmakers, including Senate Majority Leader John Thune, said in a statement, quote, "Pope Francis led a life of faithful witness to the gospel. He dedicated himself to spreading the good news with joy, and he will be remembered as a humble servant."
And traditionally, several lawmakers attend the funerals of popes, and it's likely that'll be the case this time as well. It's a list of those attending has not yet been announced. Well, reaction continues to pour in from around the world as leaders share their condolences and prayers for the pope. Some shared, that is, special moments with the pontiff, and others reflected on his legacy. EWTN News contributor Julia Converi has more.
Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, the Pope's native country, stated that, "Having been able to know him in his kindness and wisdom was a true honor for me." Meanwhile, Giorgia Meloni, the prime minister of Italy, shared that she had the privilege of enjoying his friendship, his advice, and his teachings, which never failed even in moments of trial and suffering. From Ukraine, President Zelensky shared his support. He knew how to give hope, ease suffering through prayer, and foster unity. He prayed for peace in Ukraine and for Ukrainians. And King Charles issued a statement on behalf of the royal family. "We were greatly moved to have been able to visit him earlier this month. We send our most heartfelt condolences." Moving over to France, Emmanuel Macron shared a photo of him and his wife meeting with the Pope, saying, "Pope Francis wanted the church to bring joy and hope to the poorest. May this hope be reborn endlessly beyond him." And lastly, the current Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney, reflected on the Pope's visit to Canada in 2022. He extended his papacy to the furthest margins, always attentive to the poor and most vulnerable. Julia Convery, EWTN News Nightly.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops says Pope Francis will be remembered for his outreach to the people on the margins. And the head of the Archdiocese of New York says that he drew comfort from today's Liturgy of the Hours.
Listen what Peter writes. "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us new birth, a birth unto hope which draws its life from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a birth to an imperishable inheritance, incapable of fading or defilement, which is kept in heaven for you." Is that not providential?
Cardinal Timothy Dolan also says that this is a time of sadness, but also one of hope. Pope Francis visited New York City in 2015. It was part of his trip to North America that included stops in Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. We now go to Archbishop Nelson Perez, head of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Your Excellency, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, just want to find out what went through your mind when you first heard about the passing of Pope Francis.
Early this morning, about 4:45, I got a text from one of our diocesan staff telling me that the Pope had died. And It was a surprise. I was surprised, and the surprise quickly turned into sadness. And then this great spirit of gratitude kind of filled my heart, my soul. Gratitude to God for this amazing man of faith, a man of the church.
Amen to that. What are your memories?
Sadness to gratitude.
What are your memories of the Holy Father?
Well, I've been blessed to have seen the Holy Father many times in Rome and here in Philadelphia and New York. And he was always so genuine and authentic and very, very a simplicity to him, which was very moving. I remember 5 years ago now, before I was appointed the Archbishop of Philadelphia, I was on an ad limina visit with the bishops of the Midwest, and happened to be the last one in line as we're walking out. And we spoke for about, 15 minutes, him and I, and it was really wonderful. He didn't tell me I was coming to Philly at the time. But as a Latin American, it was always so special for me to speak to the Holy Father in Spanish.
Sí, seguro.
That will always be something really, really very special.
Now, it was in 2015, I believe, that Pope Francis actually visited Philadelphia. You weren't the Archbishop at the time, but I'm sure you still see the impact there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Those days of the Holy Father's visit to Philadelphia are forever ingrained in the heart of every Philadelphian. I was there right by the altar. It was moving. It was electric. It was the joy of the people and the joy of the Holy Father, something that we still talk about here in Philadelphia. I just celebrated Mass at the cathedral on our altar where the Holy Father celebrated Mass. We had a full cathedral. It was beautiful. We hold the Holy Father deep in our hearts.
And Pope Francis was the first Jesuit pope and the first pontiff from Latin America. What do you think his legacy will be?
I think the Holy Father is going to be remembered by key words, right? He called us to encounter. It was the very first paragraph of the Joy of the Gospel, calling the world to renew their encounter with Jesus Christ. He called us to generosity and of heart, to a merciful heart. He was the Pope of the poor, the Pope of the marginalized, the Pope of the immigrant. He had a special place in his heart for people who felt that they were on the outskirts, and called us to go out to meet them and encounter them with the joy of the gospel.
Gracias a Dios. Well, I tell you what, Archbishop Nelson Perez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's great to be with you, unfortunately, in this sad day, but a grateful day to Almighty God for Pope Francis.
Amen. And the death of Pope Francis is leading to some changes to the Vatican calendar. The Jubilee of Teenagers, expected to draw some 80,000 teens to Rome, will take place as planned this weekend. But the canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis, scheduled for Sunday, has been postponed. The Holy See did not release a new date for the anticipated event. Acutis died in 2006 at the age of 15. He is set to become the first millennial saint. Still to come on EWTN News Nightly, a look at some national headlines, including a tough day on Wall Street, why stocks drop so dramatically, and a prayer for the Pope. We ask you to join us in prayer for the repose of his soul. Thanks for staying with us. It was another tough day on Wall Street after stocks took another plunge. The Dow dropped 971 points today and is on pace for the worst April since 1932. Markets are on the edge about President Trump's tariff war, as well as threats to fire Fed Chief Jerome Powell. On social media, the president demanded the Fed chief lower interest rates. In Washington, D.C., the New York Times reports that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth shared detailed plans about a military operation against the Houthis in Yemen in yet another Signal group chat using his personal phone. This chat included his wife, lawyer, and brother. Hegseth responded to the incident earlier today.
This is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me, because we're changing the Defense Department, putting the Pentagon back in the hands of warfighters.
Earlier today, President Trump expressed full support for his defense secretary, saying that he still had confidence in Hegseth despite the latest revelations. Turning now to the Middle East, Israel strikes in the Gaza City, killing at least five people, including two women and a child. That's according to Palestinian medics. Now, the strikes hit the tents shelter displaced Palestinians earlier today. Several tents were burned down as a result, according to the Hamas-run First Responders Agency. In his final appearance before his death, Pope Francis urged the ceasefire in Gaza and called for the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, as we mourn the loss of our Holy Father, it's important to remember to pray for the repose of his soul. We ask that you join us in that prayer after the break. We want to thank you so much for joining us tonight for this special programming after the death of our Holy Father. Before signing off, we would like to pray for Pope Francis together. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who in your wondrous providence chose your servant Pope Francis to preside over your church, grant, we pray, that having served as a vicar of your Son on earth, that he may be welcomed by him into eternal glory, who lives and reigns with you in eternity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word also offered this prayer for the Holy Father. Lord Jesus, you have called Pope Francis to yourself. Thank you for the gift of his papacy. When he was with us, he tirelessly showed the Church your constant mercy towards sinners. Grant him now your mercy and let him rest eternally with you in your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We want to thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Eric Rosales. Have a good night, and God bless. Y buena suerte.